June 13, 2020, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. vacation, she has fun. She gets dark and drunk. As she pleaded, I swear not to tell you no lies. Do I still got to stand at the back of the line every time?
Pedro Show, happy Saturday. K's B-Day was yesterday. Bloom's Day's coming up Tuesday. Raymond's B-Day, too. Brother Matt, yeah, he served a shift over in Las Vegas, but I think he's back, but still in quarantino mode, so he's 3 miles south of Love Grotto. Pleasure point. But I am not man alone in my pad here, because through the wonders of those Estonian software engineers and their Skype invention, I got Bill and Brian with me from Atlanta. How you doing? Welcome aboard.
Hey, we're doing great. We're glad to be here. Yeah. Hello, Watt.
Yeah, very, very much. We got to thank Mike Pagetta right off the bat for making the connect. He's you guys are the final ones out of almost a dozen Knoxville connected kind of music peoples. And I've loved all the stuff, and your stuff too. I mean, we started the show off with John Coltrane and Mel Jackson doing Three Little Words, and then Smoke with Trust. Who wants to go first? Bill, Brian, which one?
I guess I'll go first.
It's going to be your journey through music. Okay. Bill, I want to know your earliest musical recollection, please.
The earliest record collection?
Musical or recollection. Memory.
I think the earliest one, I think I was in third grade and we were auditioning for the school chorus. And I tried to sing, and I don't think it went well, and I burst into tears.
Oh, damn.
Kind of gave up and just thought, I hate music. That's probably my earliest recollection. Whatever it is I thought music should be, but everyone in third grade did not agree. I mean, I thought I was feeling it, but I didn't get on the chorus, and they just, that nobody really liked it. They kind of told me to stop. I didn't get that. So,
don't worry, Bill. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers in this world. What about the pad you grew up in? Where was that?
That was in Cleveland, Ohio.
Now, at the pad, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, not really, no. I think no one in my family really did much with music. And I really initially wanted to be a bomb maker and a secret agent, globe-trotting assassin. But that, you know, that's a lot of negative energy. And then my friends started playing music, and I was hanging out with them. So I sort of redirected the destructive energy into music and trying to learn how to play the guitar.
I'm trying to fit in a question here, Bill.
Right, sorry.
What about listeners? Were your parents or your brothers and sisters listeners? Did they have record collection?
No, they listened to the radio. Okay. Music was something other people did.
Well, let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought yourself?
The very first one. You know, I don't even remember buying it. It was probably my brother's records. He had a Rick Wakeman record.
But you can't remember the first record you bought yourself.
I can't even think about. I remember the first when I started buying a lot of records. Yeah.
Okay. What about the first gig? What was the first gig you went to?
I think it was a high school band. We played at a bar in Cleveland, Ohio. I think the name of the band was the Fabulous High Tops, and we had three guitar players, one drummer.
No, Bill. Oh. First gig you went and saw somebody else playing.
Oh, I think I went to a concert. Saw Ella Fitzgerald play. My family went there a long time ago.
That's bitching. Now, you were saying in school you got kicked out of the choir?
Well, just passively, aggressively mocked and humiliated.
Yeah.
They didn't kick me out. They just made it clear I wasn't acceptable.
Okay, but you never tried anything else like the marching band or the stuff
like that? Why would I do that?
I don't know. I wasn't there. That's why I got to ask you.
But then I met my friends, and I thought, well, they're making music.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next. After school, the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band. You did that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
How old were you?
I was, you know, I probably 16 and 17. That's when I started playing music.
What instrument did you choose?
The guitar.
Why?
Because it seemed like a fun thing to do. And my friends had guitars, and my friend Jeff had an old Harmony guitar.
Yeah.
But then he bought a Gibson guitar, and so he needed to make money, so he sold me the Harmony guitar, and so I sort of started there.
Now, was it electric or acoustic?
It was, I think, hollow body, electric.
Okay, so you had an amp, too?
Yeah, an Ampeg. Yeah, in fact, I got his old amp, the Ampeg.
Okay.
I wish I
still had that. Where did you guys practice?
We would practice, you know, probably basements, houses. My friend Tom.
But not your pad. Your parents weren't into it.
Oh, no, they just hated it. They were, I think, kind of worried.
Now, tell me about that first gig that you started telling me about.
Yeah, it was really, you know, typical. We were probably seniors, maybe in high school, and we just played. And I didn't know how to play, so I liked climbing on furniture. That was basically what I did. I'd sort of climb on the countertops and jump around and dance.
Well, where was it at? At the school?
No, this was at a bar in Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay.
Ashwood. I don't remember the name.
You guys were old enough to go to a bar.
Yeah, they let us play.
Okay. Can I ask you about the material? Was it original, or were you copying songs off record?
It was mostly covers, and we liked the Ramones. We liked the Ramones a lot. We liked the B-52s, and we liked Neil Young. We really liked, because this was right around the time of Rust Never Sleeps. And we loved that Neil Young guitar sound.
And what was the name of this band?
I think the Fabulous High Tops.
Okay. Yeah, I always wear low top Converse. Yeah. High Tops made my feet sweat. But that has nothing to do with you.
I got the same problem going on. If I wear the wrong socks, my feet stink. Doesn't matter.
When I came here from Virginia for 20 something years, I never wore socks or chonies until I got sick at 42, and then I started doing that. Did the Fantastic High Tops, the Fabulous High Tops, ever record?
I think just the cassette tapes. Just cassette tapes.
Oh, cool. So that first gig, you weren't really playing, but how did you feel? Were you scared, or were you...
Oh, I loved it. Okay. I thought, the curse of third grade humiliation has been lifted. I am free.
Yeah. So this was a way to let the fucking freak flag fly.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, what music has always been ever since. It's, well, also at that time, I liked the Hendrix live recording.
Jimmy, what, like Band of Gypsy?
That's it. Yeah, I didn't. I liked the studio stuff, but it was the live recordings, especially the bootleg cassettes I had access to. That really, I thought, this is what music is. It's so, so stripped down, so live.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with you. I think music is for the big E expression word too. Curious, how long did you last with that harmony guitar?
I think pretty about it, probably 2 or 3 years. And then I got a Fender Stratocaster.
Ah, like Bob Quine.
Yeah, and I loved it. Stratocasters ever since.
I'm going to play another tune by this Proj called Smoke. What's Smoke?
Smoke. So what's with Smoke? How about Brian? Brian can answer that, or should I keep talking?
Well, I want to play it. When we get done playing this next block of music, it'll be Brian's turn. So it's a Brian-connected thing. Okay. Okay.
Got it.
It's hard for me to know, you know, till I get this mind-reading thing. I'm going to have to use words there, Bill.
Got it.
The bedpost in the other.
Richard! Richard?
Do something about it. We have to start from the beginning again.
Richard!
I'd like to see something good, actually. Something song.
What?
Into that F sharp part. Yeah, not at the end of the first verse, at the end of the second.
Be sure to do Washington D.C. in the middle.
Start with the blues out. After you hit it.
Hello?
Don't get too close either, I don't
think. Alright.
Okay.
Thank you.
Live from Pedro Show. Yeah, that was When It Rains from Smoke. Then we had Pat Ruthensmith. Pat from the Germs, one of my heroes. Incredible music cat and person. The Area of the Circle. Deerhoof, brand new album from them, Sympathy for the Baby Boo. Kay Salita. It was King's B-Day yesterday. 59 years young. Richard. Paper Mice out of Chicago after that with... God damn, I always fuck this up. Simulacra. Anyway. Sorry, guys. Bilge Pump out of Leeds after that with Can I Touch Your Leg? Breasts from Ill. At what part of England are they? I can't remember. Damon Smith got a brand new compilation of him on stand-up. The Sky Hides All His Birds. And finally, Opal Fox Quartet with Frail Body. That's the only tune I got from them that you sent me, so I don't know if that's a Brian or a Bill-oriented proj, but I want to, Bill, I want to move on now to Brian and his early musical journey. Okay?
Great.
Okay, Brian, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, it's just some cello playing stuff in the fourth grade, learning how difficult it was to hold a bow and get a sound out of the instrument.
Yeah, you got to play it between your legs.
Yeah, that part's great.
Oh, you like that? Okay.
Yeah, it really, really grew on me. It's nice to embrace it, and it sings like a human voice.
I was going to say, what really strikes me about the cello, there's a couple things. One is the range. It's incredible. It goes the bass clef to treble. You know, it's, yeah, probably the whole range of the voice. The other thing is fifths. So you got more drama jumps between the strings. So
it's like, the only way my mind works. I've never really learned any other way to think about it.
Yeah, so more like the violin, more like the mandolin. Yeah, the more dramatic with the... Yeah, pretty exciting. Cello's an amazing instrument. So you started on this thing in fourth grade. Now, was it your choice?
It was my choice. Well, actually, I signed up for the bass, but my parents drove a Toyota Tercel, and they said, you can't play the bass.
Now, where was this?
This was in Albany, Georgia, South Georgia.
Sure. I think I think I've been through there, just passed through. I never got to play there. It's little, right?
It is. It's kind of like the armpit of America.
Well, yeah. You know what? Every town's got that part inside it. Okay. But let me ask you about your pad. Was there instruments where you grew up?
Yeah, my dad was a music professor, and my mom was a choir director and the second church organist and stuff like that. And yeah.
So there's instruments in the pad?
Yeah, there was the piano. My dad had several instruments. His primary was clarinet, but he had the bassoon and all kinds of other stuff around.
Double reed. Now, a lot of people, if they got a piano in the pad, yeah, when you're young, will you take some piano lessons?
I never really did.
Was it suggested on you? Was it suggested on you?
A little bit, but yeah. There's a lot of friction between me and the parents, even that early on.
Okay, that's okay. I'm just curious. But when you got to school, you got into the music program there. And I'm thinking more you're like in the, not the marching band. There's no cellos in marching bands.
Right, the Woody Allen cello playing in the marching band. You see that theme?
That's right. Well, he ended up on the licorice stick, right? He's a clarinet.
What's
man.
That?
He ended up on the licorice stick, a clarinet man.
That's right. Yeah. He just has a scene in a movie where he's playing cello in the marching band.
Oh, yeah, I know. He managed. Yeah, that would be fucked up. You know, Ron Carter plays a piccolo bass, and it's almost the same size, but it's that fourth tuning. I mean, it's a big diff.
I realized that was a fourth tuning. Yeah. I assumed it was a fifth tuning.
No, no.
Wow.
When they went to the bass, they went it more clustered closer, I guess. I don't know why. But the guitar is that way, too. Well, for one thing, bass and guitar, piano, those things were all in the rhythm section with the drums in the old days. So it was a different world. Let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
I can't remember which was first. It's a great combo, though, because you got Charlie Daniels' Devil Went Down to Georgia, 45, and then Queen's Greatest Hits.
Okay.
And I have a big theory that Bohemian Rhapsody and The Devil Went Down to Georgia are two of the greatest ideas of music ever.
And the first gig you went and saw?
That would be Foreigner at the Albany Civic Center. They decided to kick off their World Agent Provocateur tour in Albany, Georgia for some reason.
And I believe that they had a guitar man named Steve Jones. But it ain't the Steve Jones we know.
Right?
The Steve Jones we know actually had me on his radio show, and I got to jam Born on the Bayou, It's All Right Now, and TVI with him on acoustic guitar. He told me, you come on my show, you got to bring your bass.
Nice.
It was about 15 years ago. Yeah, he was really nice. Really intelligent, too. You could tell not going to college or anything, but smart as fuck. And one interesting thing he said near the end of it, he had known like freaking 3 hours. We were talking about that We Jam Econo documentary. And he said, you know, he was talking about the SST days, Black Flag and Husker, Meat Puppets, Moon Man. He said, we should have done it like you guys. I was like, whoa. That was very kind of him. So were you, besides the school stuff.
I got to see you guys at the Fox with Jason and the Scorchers and R.E.M. That was a great show.
Right. Two nights in a row, and there's lights in the roof. In between, we did that. A lot of recordings ended up on that ballot result at Georgia Tech, WREK.
Yeah.
Right near there, and the Varsity. I remember the first places I played was the 688 and Steve Mays. Ig had his set list painted on the bulkhead there. Anyway, besides, did you work the cello into like what Bill did with the garage band, with the basement bedroom band?
Well, one of Bill's garage bands used to rehearse in my basement, and that's how we got to know each other. And
okay. You know what? Can I tell you something? I have yet to hear a basketball player say, I'm going to go down to the gym and rehearse some hoops. I mean, what's wrong with that practice word? Just curious.
I'll tell you why I say it all the time is an old girlfriend of mine who Bill is still good friends with. her uncle played drums with Ray Charles, and he told me real musicians rehearse.
Ah, I thought it was actors that rehearsed. But anyway, it's fucking semantics anyway. Don't worry about that.
I'm not preaching.
So you guys had a band together, a garage band, a basement band.
Well, that's how we met, and then Bill started the Opal Fox Quartet and said, Brian plays the cello, and Benjamin said, I've always wanted a cello player, and that's when we started playing music together.
But this wasn't the Fabulous High Tops.
No. That was Ohio. Okay. This is Atlanta now.
Okay, and what was this band called?
That was the Opal Fox Quartet.
Oh, so this tune we just played. Yeah, that. Frail Body. Okay.
Yeah.
And tell me about Opal Fox. Where'd you get that fucking name? Well, there's probably a four-piece, right?
Well, it almost never. It started as one, but it quickly turned into a 10-piece, and we had to beat the harmonica players off the stage.
Whoa.
and Benjamin was a drag queen at the time.
Yeah.
And got compared to Tom Waits because of his gravelly voice, and we were quite a show. I think a train wreck, as Michael Stipe would say.
What was the first gig like?
It was magical, man. They'd been playing for a couple of weeks, brunch at the Little Five Points Pub, and somebody said, you gotta go see it.
I remember the Five Points place. I played there a few times. I love that pad.
Yeah. And I walked in, and Benjamin was singing a song about masturbation, and he had a blue sequin dress on and was saying, everybody masturbates, wave their hands in the air, and, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Sunday in Georgia, and all these people waving their hands in the air. I fell in love immediately.
But you were a gig goer. When was the first time you played with them? You're on stage with them.
The next week.
Ah, okay.
What
was that gig like?
That's fantastic. I still was just learning how to play one note in a band, but they put up with me long enough to where I learned a few more.
Did you have sheet music?
No. So yeah, I was learning how to play by ear compared to, you know, growing up as a grunt orchestra person.
No, because I know people like that. You don't put the music in front. They can play like motherfuckers, but you got to have that stuff in front of them.
Yeah, I had to put all those ideas behind me to be able to make it work right. So yeah, it was a big change for me.
Was this in the 90s?
It was the late 80s.
Okay. Did you know a guy in the Five Points that hung around the street named Kerry Thornley?
Did you know Kerry? That doesn't ring a bell.
He was one of the original Discordians, him and Greg Hill. And he ended up there. I think he ended up dying living on the street there in Five Points. Yeah, something like 99 or something. But he was there for like 7 or 8 years. I was just curious. Look, we're at the end of the first hour. June 13, 2020, Just Watch Pedro Show, Bill and Brian, special guests. Hold tight for hour two. June 13, 2020, it's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show.
sun shuts down another night. Might not leave me half so cold. Drawn inside by barroom lights. It's a long, cold road back to where I live. It's a long, cold road. And jukebox dancers in their glory. You never drink more than you'll spill. It's a sad old dream. The dream I had is a sad old dream. Times I almost hate the man staring in the mirror before me. Oh, but wake me up when it's his round. Cause it's a lonely, sad life. The life I lead is a lonely, sad life. The life I lead is a lonely, sad life. The life I lead is a lonely, sad life. Thank you.
it's not so good for you now. Are we caught in a loop? I just can't figure out how. How are you sitting there standing? The watchman just couldn't be wrong. Just where in the world is he? Don't know, I checked, he was gone. But that just wouldn't make sense. I thought it was a wall, but it's really a fence. This story's not over. It hasn't even begun. He's sitting there smiling.
Thank you. when all the saints are waiting for UFOs. A hurt-skinned list, it's a life of struggle, but salvation comes on her starry plane. So when the fish are falling from the sky, then by her side waiting for UFOs. Wait for UFOs.
Show. We start off the second hour with some more Opal Fock Quartet doing Blue Exception. And then we had Tripod Jimmy out of Cleveland doing Solace in a Bottle. Well, for a while there, they were in the Bay Area. Maybe they started in the Bay Area. Because for Tom Herman, I've been actually recording with him a project called Ship to Shore. And we've got 17s already. And that version of Paruba with him and Tony and Alan Scott on the drums and David Thomas singing. That Modern Dance album, huge influence on Minutemen. We saw him at the Whiskey. We found out later the drummer man, Scott, forgot where he parked the boat. It happens. Peter Lochner out there, another Cleveland guy, Drunkard's Lament. Karam out of Canada with Thinking Empire. The Magnet Hearts, Jonathan Hall here. From Backbiters, a brand new project. The story's not over. And finally, Waiting for UFOs with the eponymous tune, Waiting for UFOs. So, you guys played together at Opal Fox Quartet?
Yeah.
And then the project after that is Waiting for UFOs?
No, then there's Smoke.
So I actually should have played the fucking Opal Fox Quartet first and then Smoke.
Okay. It all comes together and it all weaves in and out. There's no right or wrong way.
But let's just clear it up for the listeners. I mean, or were they simultaneous projects? Or were they linear? Did one come before the other?
I think they're linear. There was the Opal Fox Quartet. And then it became Smoke, and then Benjamin died, so we then went into separate projects and then came back together in various groups to keep writing, but also just keep kind of grieving and living.
Yeah, of course. So Smoke was the first time you played with Brian here?
No, I started playing with Brian in Opal Fox Quartet.
So that band is before Smoke.
Yeah.
Okay. And then they're kind of the same band, maybe a couple people different. Like Benjamin's the same guy, right?
Yeah, he's kind of the musical force. He's the sun, and the rest of us are just sort of rocky objects.
Planets in orbit. Planets in orbit. Okay. Asteroids, whatever.
Comets. Yes. Yeah. You know, Benjamin was a mighty force. It's just... You know what I mean? One of those people that just, once they're gone, you never recover.
I know about that because with D. Boone, you know, I wouldn't have been doing this without D. Boone, and I know exactly what you mean. But, you know, life deals your hand, right? So you got to play it.
That's right.
I understand what you mean why you had to change. I could never be called the Minuteman again.
Yeah, it's a tough. I mean, when you lose someone, what do you do? And right. So Brian and I and Will Pratizzi, who was also in UFOs and Smoke, we just kind of try to write new stuff in honor of the friends who are gone, but kind of keep going ahead.
Yeah, I understand. So tell me about the first Waiting for UFOs gig.
Boy, that grew out of, let's see, after Smoke, then we were Smoke That City for a while, and then the early Waiting for UFOs, right, that was our friend Coleman, who used to be in Smoke, he died, and so we kind of worked at a memorial show, and the group was Waiting for UFOs.
Wow. So a lot of tragedy here.
Well, yeah, now I realize I should be speaking more metaphorically and cryptically because I don't want to, you know, it's, but I mean, it's the truth in terms of what happens. So maybe,
yeah,
maybe,
you know, Bill, you got a good point because in a way we're in denial because this shit happens to all of us.
That's kind of what I think Brian and I are going through. And it, do I really need to be a quirky, eccentric interview subject? Why not just be? You know, tell the truth.
Yeah, no, the way I look at it is the show, the reason I do it is my payback on the movement. I found that almost certainly everyone's musical journey is different. There's different ways to do this music trip. So when you guys talk about your music journey, hopefully it gets out there and listeners won't be afraid to let their freak flag fly.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Okay, so that's what it's about as far as I'm concerned. I want to play Big Shot Mortician. Okay, talking about happy stuff.
He's a shot mortician with six fingers on each hand. When it's here I am, it's there, I wish I was up on the land. He plays a flute, a bomb, a pelican bomb, standing by the grave. He burned every bed in Paris before he wiped that smile. You can run, but you can't hide. God moves on the water. He rules the land and sky. He plays a flute, a bomb, a pelican bone, standing by the grave. He burned every bed in Paris before he wiped that smile. Men on the road, good intentions turn to vapor. trailing torn sheets that pay for leaving us with the error staring back at us in the mirror. He plays a flute cut from a pelican thorn, standing by the grave. He burned every bed in Paris before he wiped that smile right off of your face.
I'm going to go to the hospital. Thank you.
lives. I never should have picked this fight. Starlight, but the city warm. Now the screens are blank and the projector's gone. We got caught, sent to court with the big shot's eyes agape, mouth agog, up on the roof, waiting for a way to escape. Every Easter Sunday morning, flesh hotel now season. Give it to the poor. Jury and the good paper hats. See what happens when you let someone go. See what happens when you stitch tender buttons to the heartbeat of the whore who tore the walls down. Networks, but the burning trash cans get them every time. So sink your hips, add another song to the canon. If you kill the king, you will get cut.
For Pedro show, yeah, big shot mortician from Waiting for UFOs. After that, Barrence Whitfield and the Savages out of near Boston. I think it's a little town called Berkeley. Tinglin. Lena Anderson with Conan Cuchillo. Pressing on from Scott H. Birum. Waves of Wind Through Tops of Trees from Bradford Reed. The Opium Trail, Walk, Don't Run. Yeah, this guy gave me this band. He was in the 60s, and it's all covers. It was just a different. I remember growing up here in Pedro, not one guy me and D. Boone knew wrote their own songs. Not till we met people in the movement. It was all about copying records. Sort of like building models. You know, it's kind of crazy, but that's the way the culture was. Luckily, it didn't last that long. And then Starlight, finally. Waiting for UFOs. So, this is an ongoing prod, right?
Yeah, it really is. And that's why it's great working with Brian and Will Fratese. And it's just part of a river. I don't know where it's going, but it just keeps going. And we just get together and... we don't really even talk that much. We just sort of play instruments, and then we remember the parts that sounded good, and then it's a song. And so we just keep going.
So you're saying that the creation process is kind of an improvised jam?
Yeah, well, then kind of in an edited. You improvise, you find a riff, you play around with it, and then you, if you can remember it, the next time it's probably a good one, and then you add another... You know, you kind of weld some found objects onto it, and then you have a song.
Yeah. Well, I ask, because some dudes, like, they'll make the cassette at home, right, and then they show it to the guys. And make this be so, like, kind of command, right?
Yeah, I mean, our last, lately we've been playing out in backyards, so we get a social distance effect, and So we just hang out in the backyard. But our newest composition, I don't know what happened, but Brian just started playing the cello. And, you know, it's the cello, the fifths. There's something about those fifths. Yeah. You turn them loose in the world, and then the beat comes in. And then I start kind of playing the guitar, just one or two notes. So it's kind of a Tony Conrad, Lamonte Young drone thing. But it just, I don't know what happened. It just happened. So.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody's got their own ways of doing it. And so that's, I'm just curious to hear you articulate it for us. So a lot of it's kind of finding it by doing it.
That's the big thing. Yeah, but we love all styles. Billy Fields, the keyboard player, he'll write a whole composition, send it to me and Brian, we listen to it, and then we just add to it.
Okay, so that's more like that traditional demo kind of technique. Okay.
And even then, his strategy is, it just gets started. Once
Right.
Where it ends, we don't know.
Right. So it's more like the launch pad, the springboard.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I do a lot of that because I compose a lot on the bass. So, you know, I don't want every song to be a reggae song, right? It's just something to get all the collaborators in on.
That's pretty much what we're doing. It's just using technology to get that launch pad going.
And where do you guys usually record in Atlanta when it's ready to put the stuff down?
A lot of what we record is in Steven Seacrest's basement studio in Cabbage Town, Radon Recordings. He's got a great little basement set up.
It's Radon?
Radon Recordings. And that's where we recorded all the stuff you're playing by Waiting for UFOs.
And, you know, that shit sounds great. I love it. So, you tell him he's doing a good job, man. Keep on keeping on because, you know, that's what it's about, right? At the end of the day, it's just sound coming out. And however the dude gets it, so much respect. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 13, 2020, Dish Watt Peter's show, special guest Bill and Brian. Hold tight for hour three. June 13, 2020, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
The city solution, but I don't get hot cause I don't fit the description. The new Jim Crow, same as the old, and only Foucault knows what the broken windows go. We're caught in a cell. We sold ourselves to save us from the sinner in the shadows of our dreams.
to see who was who. Selected faces of whom I thought I knew. The past, with the immediate, we coalesce. Over time, intermittent and sublime, with all memories, and visions remind me again. This reunion of heart and mind makes us realize that the past is hard to find. Over the expanse of time.
I've been walking on eggshells. Maybe it's just me being paranoid, but it's starting to creep me out. It's starting to creep me out. Everybody knows one thing. If there's nothing for you, then you better leave. Sometime we're gonna be more alive than anything. So nothing said. Is it just me being in my head? Cause it's starting to freak me out. It's starting to freak me out. Only took one seed to plant the fall, pointing towards me. Sometime we're gonna be more alive than anything you believe.
For Pedro, shall we start off the third hour with Caught from Waiting for UFOs? The Crane and Skip after that out of Idaho. You the pimp. Reunion. Atlantis. Here's some Nomad Eel stuff. Atlantis Aquarius on my way. Living more eggshells. Dream phase with only you. Sunday morning, the 2nd. Even though it's Saturday. Sorry. Paul Jacobs. Finally, Useless. Waiting for UFOs. So how do you come up with titles? Are they first or last?
Sometimes they're first, sometimes they're last. We had, Useless, I was calling it Twist, and because I thought it'd be a good dance song, and then Billy Field said we should call it Useless. Well, that's a good idea.
I got to start with the title because I won't have any focus, but almost everyone I talk to you about this puts the titles on last. So it's interesting.
It's, a lot of what we do with words is what we learned from Benjamin and Opal Fox and Smoke. He was probably the first writer, artist I ever got to work with. I mean, I'd see artists and writers, but I never got to hang out with one and make stuff. So we would just watch him work with words, and we've been doing that ever since we're Waiting for UFOs. I mean, the words are kind of objects, and you can play around with them, and you can forget them, and then find new ones, and playing with them is a lot of the fun.
Well, what about this one, King?
And which one?
King.
King of Cabbage Town?
Well, the only title I got is just King.
What King? It just says King on there, on the thing. Yeah, it's the King of Cabbage Town.
Okay, so I got the abbreve, right? Like instead of San Pedro, just Pedro. Like I said, I'm deficient in the mind reading stuff, so I still got to use words, Bill. I'm sorry.
I just saw the packaging today, so you know more than I do once again.
There's a great John Cale song called "You Know More Than I Do." Let's listen to King.
Mm-hmm. just come to nothing. Just dancing and drinking all night. Dancing and drinking all night to the politics of destruction. Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Waiting for UFOs and King. It's actually King of Cabbage Town. I got the abbreviated time. In fact, this is just coming out, people. And Brian, Bill, where can people find you on the internet?
Waiting for UFOs with the weird spelling on Instagram is probably the best place to do it.
But you ain't got your own website yet.
We do. We just don't update it.
Yeah.
Remember, having your own website is like having your own fanzine. Right? There's no fucking middleman, no Bogart, no goddamn toll booth. Okay, people, that's W-8-I-N-G-F. No, not F. Number 4, O-U-R.
UFO.
I'm going to start over. W-8-I-N-G 4, you know, number, U-F-O-S, okay? Instant ham, probably on Shitter and fucking fake look too. But well, you want your own thing, because those are okay telephone poles to put up flyers on, but you want your own fucking fanzine.
Yeah.
All right. You can do it through WordPress for free, okay? You know. Remember in the old days there was something called Tripod, but there'd be 10 billion motherfucking ads. Okay, after that we had Citizen Kane with a Man from Israel. Iggy and Stooges doing Not Right, live in Tokyo 2004. That was at Shibuya Axe. That gig seemed like it was 2 minutes long. Fuck, it was a rush for me. And then finally, from Waiting for UFOs, St. Eom. Is that how you pronounce?
St. Om.
Om. Okay, they got it. It's spelled E-O-M here.
Yeah. And maybe it is E-O-M. I pronounce it Om. Okay. That's how I heard it. And he was a folk artist in South Georgia.
I think a creator should be in charge of that. He was an artist?
Yeah, folk artist in South Georgia, an outsider.
Okay. Like that guy, Mike Stipe, told me about this guy. He put all of his artwork in his yard. Howard Finster, exactly. Thank you for letting me remember. So this record just is coming out on Stripe Light. By the way, people, Stripe Light, great label coming out of Knoxville, Tennessee. Jason with the pilot lamp, and man, lots of bitching stuff. I've played buttloads of it on the show here, so check them out. I know there's probably a Bandcamp page for it. And what's the plan now? I mean, we can't tour yet, right? We can only do backyard gigs with a distancing. So what's your plan? Maybe more recording?
Yeah, more recording and more backyard shows and using projectors to screen movies while we play in backyards at night and then shoot video of the projections and record more songs.
Now, the stuff that's being projected during the gig, does it relate to what you're playing?
It's whatever is in the projector. So I guess it relates in the viewer's mind. It all relates. It's just not consciously dictated by a projectionist.
Well, is there a dude in the band that's his main gig, his projector man?
Yeah, that's Billy Fields, the keyboard player, composer, our songwriting coach, visionary.
Wow, so he does a lot of it. Does he drive the boat, too?
And sometimes, yeah, but yeah.
You know, the last tour I did was September, November last year. 45 gigs, 45 days, 13,380 miles, and Watt drove every one of them.
That's a lot of mileage.
Well, it's a big fucking country.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't even do Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll tell you, I'm not psychic or have sixth sense or ESP or any of that shit, but I was tired of getting sick. If you call a tour more than a month, it was my 67th one, so I decided to give people just elbow or knuckle. And I did not get sick. And then I get home and then all this COVID-19. But there's something to it, people. So don't mock that kind of shit. Protect yourself. What about advice? You guys have been through some, you know, you had your bands torn apart by losing some great cats. And, you know, and it's part of the whole dealio of being, you know, having a life and sharing it with others. But what about younger cats? If they asked you about this music stuff, what kind of advice would you give them? Bill?
Yeah, just let the music come out of you, and make sure you're just working with a good bunch of friends, because bad things are going to happen if you do it for a while, but it's okay, because it's life. I don't know, that's not very helpful.
No, it's good, it's good. It's balanced.
I don't know. It's I'm tempered. Just kind of thinking long term, you know? I mean, what am
yeah,
I going to say?
It's tempered. It's good, Bill. What about you, Brian?
Can't stop the music part. I have tried to do it, and things only get a lot worse when you do that. So keep playing the music.
I have an idea. I have some advice.
Bring it.
You know, create your own scene. I think everyone does it, but don't, if you can't get a gig somewhere, create your own space to have a gig. And, you know, if no one wants to put out your music, you put it out. And don't underestimate the value of small sounds.
So you're talking about parallel universes.
And, you know, we play a lot of music at low volumes because we're acoustic, because of the cello. But that means we can play in a lot of small venues, and we don't have to worry about getting into a bigger venue, which has more overhead. So since we're smaller, we can be, you know, more of the freaks we are.
Well, you know what they used to say in vaudeville there, Bill? Work the room. Work the room.
Use the space you got.
That's right. That's right. You know, I've yet to imagine a sailboat, me on a sailboat in the middle of the ocean and trying to tell the fucking wind which way to blow.
That's the lesson they need to hear. Yeah.
Look, Bill, Brian, it's been big honor to have you on the show. When you get your next Waiting for UFOs thing recorded, will you come back on the show and let us talk about it?
We sure will.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, really, I love what you're doing. Keep on keeping on. Keep that keel in the water.
Right, keep on educating there, Wapram Pedro.
Okay. People, June 13, 2020 edition, Wapram Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.